Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's February and the city is under a lockdown. The streets are deserted for all but essential workers. New makeshift hospitals and quarantines are popping up to deal with the thousands of infected patients. And the death toll is frightening. The government has instituted harsh restrictions to stop the coronavirus, and people are forced to stay at home or volunteer just to have something to do. Is this Toronto, LA, or New Delhi? No. We're talking February 2020, and the city is Wuhan. Wuhan is a new documentary that takes you onto the scene of the first known pandemic of COVID-19. It's upbeat, real, and very moving. It talks to doctors, patients, and ordinary people, showing firsthand how they handle the early stages of this previously unknown virus. It's the latest film by award-winning Canadian documentarian Yung Chang, known for Up the Yangtze, China Heavyweight, and many others. Wuhan premiered at Hot Docs, Canada's international documentary festival. I interviewed him in 2012 about the fruit hunters, and 2 years ago again for This Is Not a Movie alongside the late, great Robert Fisk. So I'm pleased to have Yung Chang back again via Zoom to tell us more about Wuhan. Hi, Yung. Great to talk with you again.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks so much for having me. That was an amazing introduction to the film, and always great to chat with you.
Thanks. So, big question. How the hell did you end up in Wuhan in the middle of a pandemic?
Well, you know, truth be told, I wasn't there physically in person.
Okay.
The way it happened was, I inherited 300 hours of raw footage from the studio that acquired it, called Starlight. They're based in Los Angeles, an American company. And they reached out to me to see if I would be able to see the film through to completion, to piece it together. And so I asked to take a look at some footage. They sent me 10 hours. And I was floored by the quality, firstly, the quality of the footage and the team behind the footage who filmed it. And I took it upon myself as a great responsibility to see the film and hopefully do justice to the images that they filmed for me to handle. So I took it on. Yeah. And I did it remotely from my home here in West End, Toronto, and with my editors who were remotely in Los Angeles. And it took a few months to put this thing together. And we were really driven by, by the passion of what we saw in the footage, this idea of humanizing a faceless city named Wuhan, and knowing that, you know, I've been to Wuhan in the past, and it's a beautiful culturally thriving city, crazy punk music scene and art culture, and I wanted to show that. I wanted to show the humanity behind this city and how people come together. And that's what my team wanted to do.
Well, so speaking of Wuhan, it's this enormous, I've been there too. It's this enormous inland industrial city on the Yangtze, more than 8 million people. It's like between Chongqing in the west and Shanghai in the east. And it's this huge industrial, like you're saying, very cool cultural city. Looking at all this footage, I know you weren't there during the pandemic, but looking at the footage, what is it like when a city that size comes to a complete halt?
I mean, I think I think I should go back to my reaction from April 2020 when I inherited the footage. And you know, this was an early days for us. A year ago, we were locked down. I didn't know what was going on. I was fearful. Having this footage was like a window into what we were about to experience. And so to look at this eerie footage of a city shut down, a city of 11 million, you know, it was very shocking, dystopic, end of world type things, you know, that I was seeing. And And, you know, I think some of that footage also made its way through it in the news and, you know, mainstream media. But really, there was so much mystery of, you know, what are the everyday people doing in their apartments? What's going on beyond that, those, you know, bird's eye shots of the city? And I think that was the intention, and how our movie opens, you know, as we kind of fly into the city, closer and closer into the apartment of this young couple who are the anchor of the film. That's what I wanted to get to with the story. And so for me to see a city this cosmopolitan city shut down was shocking. But then I kind of, you know, when I would venture out into the city of Toronto at night, you know, I'd do a drive or something to do something, and it was the early days of lockdown. That was eerie, you know, that was bizarre for me to see too. But there was always the sensation of the, and there still is, you know, depending on where you live and your position in society. I'm quite lucky I can work from home, but we know that we're in a third wave and that there are people dying, and essential workers are putting their lives at risk, and hotspots in low-income communities are the ones that are most vulnerable. But it's quite, for many, I guess it feels removed. You know, you don't feel it, you don't see it. And so here was an opportunity with this footage where I could, in Wuhan, which could expose, or show, not expose, sort of like show with a little heart what was going on.
So, like you said, you're talking about the anchor couple, the husband and wife. She's pregnant, but another interesting character was a psychologist who came in from way far in the west from Xinjiang, and she's like to help just not just the patients but also the medical staff with their alienation and these sort of feelings of disconnectedness. And she came up with this ingenious way of handling a bunch of people who never see each other's face, which is really disconcerting. Can you talk about what she did?
So yes, you're talking about the character Dr. Zhang, and Dr. Zhang is a psychologist, which is unusual, even in, I think, for China standards. Like, you know, psychotherapy, psychology is not really a go-to thing in mainland China. It's sort of taboo, actually, because it usually means you have a problem, and it's not something people like to wear on their sleeves. So to see that happen was, for me, eye-opening. The psychologist comes up with the idea that taking photos of the doctors and nurses and then printing them out and pasting it onto the hazmat suits of the doctors would be a way to build a little emotional connection between the faceless doctors. And that was a major problem and still is in the ICUs and hospitals, et cetera, around the world. So I thought that was a kind of a brilliant idea and quite heartwarming, and very proactive from the psychologist. I was, you know, that was a that those are the kind of moments that were coming across in the footage that I had.
Another one was there's a young mother with her, I guess, 8-year-old son, Lilai, and they're sort of trapped in this limbo status in this pop-up quarantine-y hospital-y area, and they don't know how can they get out, where are they going to go, what's going to happen, but they never seem to be able to escape from this enclosure. Can you talk about this? That she gets quite angry about it, but it's a very moving and very interesting family.
So this is, you're talking about Mama Liu and her son Lai Lai, and they are stuck in this temporary hospital called Fangcang, and it's a giant convention center converted into you know, this temporary hospital. And so these are for patients who have symptoms, asymptomatic symptoms, but have to be quarantined. This was how it was done in China. So they're held in this temporary holding place and have to do tests and until their symptoms are clear. And it is a Byzantine, you know, classic Byzantine sort of communist health system, and she's trying to navigate and trying to get out. It makes no sense. It is, you know, very nerve-wracking, certainly for her. But for me, what struck me was this idea that, you know, often people think that China is a monolith of rule followers and you know yes people, and I would say that in fact it's quite the opposite, and especially in China when it comes to your family and it comes to and helping your family and thinking about your community, people will step up, and that's what you see through Mama Liu. Her anger, her frustration, it's very much in the camera. And I think there are moments within her story that I quite like. You know, you're seeing a snapshot of what it was like for the patient, and also sort of witnessing how things were implemented in China to take care of the virus, which they did to great success, you know. And so you have Mama Liu who's navigating this. And then the moment that strikes me that is quite moving was when another patient in the hospital has to leave and is being relocated to another place, another hospital, because her situation is worsening. And so she is very nervous. She's crying. And yet and there's a moment where she gives Mama Liu a pomelo, which is known in Chinese or Eastern medicine is known as being good for the lungs. And so she gives this to the mother for her son. And it's moments like that speak to me and are so true in my experience with my culture and in China. This is something that people will step up to help you. And I was quite moved by that.
It's also that, I mean, what's on the in the headlines right now in Toronto is like people are worried because they're going to get transferred from one hospital to another, and yeah. It's not a hospital they particularly want to go to. So we have the same thing happening with the mother and son here, where they talk about sending her. It just looks funny in English when they call it the God of Thunder Hospital.
Yeah,
Thunder God.
Yeah, Thunder God Hospital.
Right. It's like, I don't want to go to the Thunder God. Can I go to the Children's Hospital? Why should they send me to Thunder God? But it's just...
Yeah,
it's
I made the choice of translating that because Lei Shen Shan,
right.
It doesn't sound as it just was so hard for I think non-Chinese speakers to read, so Thunder God was even better.
It's much better, and it also looks at the anxiety of people here and there, where they're getting like trapped in this bureaucracy and they don't want to necessarily go where they're being told to go. They're like worried.
And just to put in context, also Thunder God Hospital was the other temporary hospital that was built in like a week, and it looked like a jail, you know. It had that feeling, and so she was worried about that. She was really worried about that.
I can imagine.
But in the end, she ends up going.
That's right.
Yeah.
Another character that's quite not amusing but interesting is, like you're saying before, it's not all a bunch of people nodding their heads and agreeing. There's a guy who his nurse, I guess Nurse Susu.
Susu, yeah.
She refers to him because he's always complaining and frightened. And he says, I'm going to die. They call him Grumpy Grandpa. Now, he's not that old.
He's not that old, but in China standards, he's considered a grandpa.
Oh, okay. He's like in his, 50s, maybe.
He was in his late 50s.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, they it's also kind of a out of respect.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, but yes, he's known as Grumpy Grandpa.
But he's an interesting character because he's he really seems terrified. He says, you know, he takes off his ventilator, his oxygen mask, and says, take a film of me now because I'm going to be dead in 4 days. And it sort of reflects the high anxiety that people were going through then.
Yeah, exactly. It's that footage inside the ICU was quite intense, and obviously we have some of that footage, but I would say that over the course of editing the movie from a year ago to today, we certainly pulled back a little bit on the intensity, because I was feeling that we've sort of had that experience or read about that experience, and and we had to have it in the film, but I think the intention of this movie was to try to reach out more into the story of the this idea of this solemn hopefulness, and that I didn't feel like I needed. I think one, some of the early edits of the movie were very much like, we got to get into this intensity of the ICU with a real punch. And I think it's still there in the movie, but much to a lesser degree. And I think I've read somewhere that someone called the film a calm look at the, and not in a negative way, but
it has the frenetic of a emergency room, but it, the main thing is it has heart, it has soul. You really saw the people.
Exactly. Right, exactly. That we're not just in the ICU for 90 minutes. This is a film that goes outside and then focuses on the everyday life of this young couple, the wife who is about to give birth. So we have this amazing footage, this narrative, this that is just so, I thought was so moving when I watched it all the way through, the raw footage, and I had to have that as the core.
Oh, amazing. Childbirth. We're out of time, but thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Daniel. This has been wonderful.
Canadian filmmaker Yung Chang's fantastic documentary, Wuhan, Wuhan, had its world premiere at Toronto's Hot Docs International Documentary Festival. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.